One showed Colin up against a locker, with Brody's forearm pressed against his neck. Colin's face wore the same slimy smirk he'd given me when he was taunting Brody. Shit. How would anyone take me seriously after this? My phone began to buzz. My office. I took a deep breath and answered, "Delilah Maddox." "Did you have underwear on? I blew the shot up on my laptop, and I see absolutely no panty lines." "Indy, thank God." I let out a huge breath. "Am I the laughingstock of the office?"
"No idea. I shut my office door as soon as I saw it come across my feed. I might have spent a few minutes ogling Brody's chest before I moved on to your ass."
"You're supposed to be my eyes and ears."
"After looking at that picture, I'd much rather be your tits and ass."
I caught Indy up on everything that had transpired, keeping the details of the actual feud behind Brody and Colin to myself. I didn't want to betray Brody's confidence. He'd told the story to the woman he was seeing, not the reporter vying for a story. It was best leaving it at, the two men had history.
"Is he flying back or waiting around for you until you're done Sunday?"
"We're both scheduled to fly back with the team after the game."
"I didn't think he'd be allowed to fly with the team."
"Why not?"
"Eh, what the hell do I know? The other article said suspended players couldn't have contact with any team members or attend the game. I figured they'd make him hitch another way home."
"Brody doesn't think he'll get a suspension, probably just a fine."
I guess you didn't get past looking at your ass on the screen. Brody was suspended. Came across about an hour ago."
I hung up quickly and scoured the rest of the morning feed until I came across the other article Indy was referring to. Easton headed back east. The article said he'd been fined and suspended for one game for violating the team's new personal conduct policy. Colin Anderson, on the other hand, had only been fined. Shit. Double shit. Brody was going to be devastated he was suspended, and I didn't even bring my own employer the scoop on a story I was involved in. I tried calling and texting Brody all afternoon, but he never responded. As soon as my interview wrapped, I headed straight back to the hotel.
"Hey, what are you doing?"
Brody was sitting in a chair, the room quiet, a glass full of clear liquid in his hand.
"Proving everyone right?"
He gulped back the remainder of his drink. I sat on the edge of the bed across from him.
"I'm sorry. I heard. I tried to reach you, but your phone must be off."
"It is. Permanently."
He eyed the phone on the table next to him. The screen was smashed. I didn't need to ask how it happened. "Is it appealable?"
"I'm not going to appeal it."
"Why? Especially if Colin only got a slap on the wrist?"
"Because it will just drag me back into a bad place. I don't need that shit."
"I don't understand." "After I got drafted into the NFL, I started to move on with my life. Until Willow reappeared again. I lost focus. Crashed my car speeding one night, heading to find her when she went on a binge. I started missing practice and workouts. Couldn't concentrate on the game. My performance took a nosedive, and Coach benched me to teach me a lesson. I eventually lost my spot on the team by getting sucked into Willow's life again."
"I get it."
"You do?"
"Yeah, I do. After Drew died, I couldn't let go. My grades dropped. I stopped going to classes. Eventually, I took a semester off. Little by little, it got easier. But all it took was the slightest memory, and I would be right back there."
"I figured he was important to you."
"He was my fiancé. We got engaged right after high school, but wanted to wait until after the draft. He was riding a quad one Saturday and hit something. It flipped over, and he broke his neck. died instantly.
Brody blew out a long breath and reached for me. Come here.
I sat on his lap.
You're pretty fucking incredible. You know that?
Is that the liquor talking, or you?
You said liquor, and all I heard was lick her. I have a flight back to New York tonight. But now I have a hard-on and need a taste before I go.
You realize you just went from brooding to perverted in under 5 minutes.
Told ya. I'm moving on.
He started to unbutton my blouse. What time is your flight?
About an hour after I come inside of you twice. Whatever time that is.
Brody. Chapter 18. Even in the off-season, I stuck to my Tuesday schedule for visiting Marlene. The Sunday staff at Broad Hollow Manor had never seen me before. I signed in and introduced myself.
We spoke on the phone a few times this week. I'm Karen. I do weeknights and Sundays. It's nice to meet you, Mr. Easton.
Brody, please. She nodded.
Brody?
How is she today?
Still the same. Whatever it was that made her so upset last week seems to have been forgotten. She's more like her normal self again.
You mean like telling a nurse she should wear less lipstick so people concentrate on her figure more and on her face less? Karen covered her smiling mouth.
I heard about that one. She's a hoot.
Says the lady who can pull off bright red shiny lips. The nurse blushed. Is she in her room?
I think she's still in the activity room. One of our staff was playing checkers with her when I passed by before.
I was not expecting that staff member to be Grouper. He wasn't dressed in his usual uniform, either. He had on a long-sleeve checkered shirt with a sweater vest over it.
Well, if it ain't Mr. Rogers, what are you doing here?
I walked to Marlene and kissed her cheek.
You're not trying to hit on my woman, are you?
Grouper waved me off and grumbled something.
It's Sunday, Marlene said. We play checkers and watch TV, but there's no football on today.
I was in the neighborhood, so thought I'd stop in and check on things.
Grouper tried to play off his visit as casual.
He turns on my television every week before we play. I don't really like football, but we play checkers, too, so I don't say anything.
Is that so? The old bastard even comes in on his day off, huh?
That's not nice. He's not a bastard. He's just old and moves sort of slow, and a little hard of hearing, too.
I grinned at Grouper. The only thing I was looking forward to in aging was being able to say whatever the hell was on my mind and getting away with it. Grouper gave me the evil eye.
It's quiet in here this Sunday without any games to watch.
I should have known I was going to hear shit from him about getting suspended.
I'm not happy there's no game today either.
You should be unhappy. Waste of perfectly good talent to not be playing a game today.
An hour later, I was sitting across from Marlene, and Grouper was looking on as the two of us played checkers. 5 minutes into the game, half of her black pieces were kings, and she'd stolen half my reds. She pulled a double jump I didn't see coming.
What the hell? You're a checkers shark?
Grouper chuckled.
You were sitting there thinking I was letting her win, weren't you?
Actually, I was thinking you weren't capable of beating her. That's why I joined in. Give Marlene a little challenge. I actually had thought Grouper was letting her win.
Only one who ever gave me a run for my money was my Willow.
Marlene slid her piece into my home base.
King me.
Grouper and I looked at each other. Both of us were silently waiting to see what would come next. The last time she'd thought about Willow hadn't gone well.
Go easy on me, lady, or see what happens the next time you want a pastrami on rye from Heidelman's.
She waved off my comment.
Tell Willow to bring the wooden checker set from the bottom cabinet of the china closet in the dining room.
It blew my mind how she could remember where she kept a game board, but couldn't recall her only granddaughter hadn't been here to see her in 3 years.
You got it.
She said she's been busy, but is coming to see me on my birthday.
Oh, yeah.
And tell her to stop by Zen Garden. They have the best wonton soup.
Grouper piped in.
The salt in that stuff isn't good for you.
Yeah, No worries there. I was pretty sure Willow wasn't coming.
Delilah. Chapter 19. My normally jittery nerves were anxious as I boarded the flight back to New York on Monday afternoon. The team and most of the reporters had headed back after the game last night, but I'd had to stay for an interview with a local college running back who was thought to be the number one draft pick next season. Brody had acted fine when I spoke to him earlier, but I imagined the team's loss yesterday weighed heavily on his shoulders. The second-string quarterback had thrown 4 interceptions, any one of which cost the team the loss. The captain's voice came overhead to tell us bad weather to the east had takeoffs backed up, and we were returning to the gate, although we wouldn't be disembarking the plane. We should sit back and enjoy a complimentary beverage. Sure, easy for you to say. These tin cans obviously didn't have the same effect on him. Why did every flight I was on lately have to mention bad weather or some other potentially catastrophic scenario? Once we parked and the seatbelt sign turned off, I made a quick trip to the ladies' room, then dug in my bag for my cell to tell Brody I was running late. The screen illuminated, then immediately flashed a lightning bolt with a drained battery and proceeded to power down. Damn it.
You need help with something?
My seatmate was probably in his late 60s. I thought about asking him to use his phone, but I had no idea what Brody's number even was. I'd never actually dialed it before. I held up my phone. My phone died, and I don't know the person's number. I'm supposed to meet him at my apartment, and I'm guessing we're going to be late since they just shut off the engine.
Ah, cell phone withdrawal. The effects can be just as daunting as heroin, they say.
You don't have one?
Nope.
Is someone picking you up at the airport when we land?
Yes, my wife.
Does she have a phone? He shook his head, mildly amused. How will she know we're delayed?
I suppose she'll pick up the phone and call the airline, as she has for the last 40 years. I take it whomever you are meeting won't do that?
Definitely not. I smiled and tucked my bag back under the seat. So, how do you pass the time without Candy Crush, then?
Candy what?
For the next half hour, I explained the intricacies of a game that didn't sound as riveting as it was while being played. My new friend returned the favor by explaining the art of cognac. When the flight attendant came to offer us a drink, he requested only 2 cups. Then he pulled out a bottle from his bag, and we proceeded to sample the liquor. It tasted like crap, but one small glass mixed with my flight medication, and I was out like a light. When we finally landed, more than 3 hours late, it was exactly the time Brody would be picking me up at my place. Knowing traffic would be a nightmare, I stopped in the bathroom near the gate and plugged in my phone while I used the toilet and fixed myself up. The phone illuminated again after a few minutes, enough for me to shoot off a text to Brody.
Delilah, just landed. Phone died before we took off. Are you already at my place?
Brody, just pulled into the parking garage.
Delilah, sorry. Will probably take me an hour to get home. Give it 2 minutes, then ring 3E. Patrick has a key to my place. I'll text him now and tell him to give it to you.
Brody, why does Patrick have a key to your place?
We could discuss the logistics later.
Delilah, to unlock the door. Why does anyone have a key?
I smirked, knowing he wouldn't love that answer, and then shot off a quick text to Patrick before I unplugged and headed home. Traffic was surprisingly light, and I made it home in less than half the time it ordinarily took. It was odd that I was returning after a football trip, and Brody was at my house waiting for me. The roles were typically reversed.
Hello? The kitchen light was on, but everything else was dark. Looking down the hallway to the bedroom, I saw the bathroom was lit.
I'm in here.
The door was open. I stopped in my tracks as I entered. The visual was one of the funniest things I'd ever seen. What are you doing?
Exactly what it looks like I'm doing.
You're taking a bubble bath? Brody was sunk down into my tub, his head lolling back against the tile wall. The full length of his tall body didn't quite fit. His legs were sticking out and over the rim. Bubbles overflowed from the tub and onto the floor. The entire room smelled like scented bath soap.
No tub at my place. I like to soak. Feels good on my muscles.
And you usually soak in bubble bath? I could barely contain my laughter.
I don't have any of this crap. The directions on the pink shit.
He pointed to a large plastic bottle that had been full when I left but was now half empty.
Said it was good for soothing muscles.
You only need to use a capful.
I was really sore.
You look ridiculous in there.
What? You don't find the bubbles sexy? If I saw you in a bathtub, I'd think it was fucking hot.
It's just sort of girly. He reached under the bubbles and took himself into his hand, the head of his semi-erect penis peeking out from the water.
Does this look girly to you?
He stroked himself leisurely. I stopped seeing the bubbles. All I could see was his strong hand around his thick shaft, slowly rubbing up and down. The vision was positively erotic. I'd never watched a man masturbate up close before. My eyes were glued as he stroked.
Do you pleasure yourself in here sometimes, Delilah?
I swallowed and nodded.
I want to watch you. See you slip your fingers inside that wet pussy and make yourself come. My cock is getting hard just thinking about it.
The speed of his pumps accelerated. I tore my eyes away and gazed up at his face. His jaw was set and tense. When our eyes caught, he swallowed, his Adam's apple bobbing up and down on his stubbled throat while his pale green eyes darkened with lust. All it took was his look. I didn't need to be touched, and my body was humming with need. When he spoke again, his voice was low, but gruff and commanding.
Take your shirt off.
I followed every instruction he gave me, my clothes disappearing slowly, one piece at a time, until I was standing before him wearing only my underwear and shoes. He stared at my black lace thong.
Take it off. I want to see every inch of you.
His hand fisted around his cock as he stroked faster.
Are you wet for me already, Delilah?
Hooking my fingers into the sides of the lace, I shimmied my panties down my legs. My answer was a whisper in the quiet room. I am. I stepped out of the pooled black lace and reached down to remove the last of my clothing. Black high heels with a strap that wrapped around my ankle.
Leave them on.
I stopped unfastening and looked up at him.
You need the height.
He stood from the tub. His body was gorgeous, a mass of carved muscle and smoothly tanned skin. The full length of his thick erection pressed against his hard stomach. Unconsciously, I licked my lips.
I want to bend you over the sink. Take you from behind.
God, yes.
And I want you to watch yourself in the mirror. I'm going to fuck you hard until you come. Then, I'm going to push deep inside of you and fill your pussy with every ounce of my cum.
Jesus, Brody. My knees were half weak as he walked to me. Turning my body to face the mirror, he swept my hair to the side and pressed his lips to my neck from behind. His chest was wet, but warm and hard against my body. The full length of him pushed up against the top of my ass.
"Spread your legs for me."
I did.
"Wider."
Slowly, he rubbed his body up and down me from behind, his cock nudging at my ass as he reached around to rub my clit. So fucking wet for me. It felt so good. My eyes drifted closed as I lifted my arms and wrapped them around his neck. When he slipped two fingers inside of me, a throaty moan fell from my lips. His other hand turned my chin to the side, giving him access to my mouth. Crushing his lips to mine, his kiss was wild and shamelessly hungry. I loved that he wasn't gentle, his actions expressing emotion and need. He cupped my breasts and squeezed, pinching my nipples so hard it bordered on pain. I threaded my fingers through his wet hair and pulled, wanting him even closer. We were both panting, unable to get enough, when he released my mouth, his teeth tugging on my lip as we separated. "Bend." With his hand on my back, he eased me forward, folding me at the waist.
"Hold on to the sides."
My hands curled around the granite sides of the vanity, his hands curled around mine.
"Look up."
My eyes rose to catch the reflection staring back at me from the mirror. Brody was right. The level was perfect with the extra 4 inches from my shoes. My skin was flushed. My hair was disheveled and wild, and my eyes were full of blatant desire.
Fucking beautiful.
He rubbed the length of himself along my wetness a few times before pushing inside. Once he made sure I was ready for him, he did exactly what he promised. Fucked me hard until I came just as hard. Then he seated himself deep inside of me and released with a carnal roar. A few minutes later, Brody scooped me up and carried me to bed, slipping in behind me. I snuggled back against him, and his body molded around mine. I could get used to this kind of welcome home.
That's good, baby. Because I threw out the vibrator in your end table drawer.
I froze, unsure if he was kidding or not. Brody chuckled and pulled me closer.
"Relax, I'm joking. But good to know one is in there. I'd like to use it on you sometime. Better yet, I think I'd like to watch you use it on yourself."
"You have a one-track mind."
"I do. All Delilah's pussy. All the time."
I elbowed him, and we both laughed. It felt good to have Brody in my bed. We talked for more than an hour in the dark, catching up on the last few days. It felt so normal, domestic, natural, right. It was almost midnight when we settled, and I began to feel sleepy. "Brody?"
"Hmm?"
He kissed my shoulder.
"You're spooning me?
Brody Easton spoons?"
"Only you, baby. But don't be surprised if you get woken up by my fork later. There's an ass I plan to take still. I'm far from done with you."
I inhaled deeply and smiled, realizing I was far from done with him, too. Over the next week, we spent every night together. Some nights I made him dinner while we argued over sports. Other nights we ate out of takeout containers sitting on the living room floor while we learned about each other. Favorite music, favorite movies, foods we both disliked. Thanks to Brody's interesting question choices, we also knew what costumes we wore for Halloween at age 8, and what animal we'd choose if we could be turned into one. Brody would be a lion. I'd be a dolphin. But I ended every day wrapped in Brody's arms. Mr. Cum had been pissed that I hadn't brought the locker room story to WMBC. There was no denying he was right when he reamed into me on how my personal relationship with Brody had influenced my judgment on reporting a story. Although 2 days later he calmed when he realized there was a way to exploit that personal relationship. Brody agreed to an exclusive interview if his team made playoffs. That got me off the hot seat with my boss, for now. One morning, Brody left early for his first practice after his suspension. My red throw pillows were strewn all over the living room floor from when we'd gone at it on the couch the night before. I picked up the two monogrammed red pillows, then the brown rectangular one I'd had since high school. Tracing my fingers along the script that spelled out L-O-V-E, I briefly thought about the boy who'd given it to me so many years ago. I felt guilty for starting to let Drew go, but it was a decision I knew needed to be made. Too many years of my life had passed in a blur since the accident. This was the first time I didn't want to stand by and watch more pass. I wanted to live them. After a long shower, I got myself ready for work. I was sitting on the edge of my bed, zipping up my knee-high leather boots, when the small framed picture of Drew that sat on my nightstand caught my eye. Brody had never said a word about it, even though it was impossible for him to have missed it. I looked down at the first boy I fell in love with and closed my eyes, thinking of all of the good memories. Up until now, I had always thought of Drew as just my love, not my first love. Realizing that he may have been my first, but would likely not be my last, was a monumental moment for me. I stood, holding the photo, then did something I never expected to do. I packed the photo into a box inside my closet. Drew would always have a piece of my heart, but there was finally room for someone else.
Brody, Chapter 20. After practice, I swung by my place and grabbed the wooden checker set I'd bought for Marlene's birthday. It wasn't the exact one she used to have. This one was nicer, but it looked similar. On my way, I stopped at the florist and picked her up a bunch of colorful flowers. "Morning, you old bastard," I smiled at Grouper. He scrunched up his forehead and looked at me funny. "What the hell are you so happy about, dipshit?" "What's not to be happy about? I'm damn good-looking, got a weapon for an arm, and you work for me, not the other way around. Life is fucking stupendous." He shook his head. "Must be contagious. Haven't seen Marlene in this cheerier mood in years, either." "She should be. 81 today. You didn't look that good when you were her age." Grouper grumbled something. "Where is the birthday girl, Dayrum?" "I think her visitor took her back to her room a little while ago."
"Visitor?"
"The one who was here a few days ago is back again. Brought Marlene a present, too."
"What are you talking about? No one visits Marlene except me."
Grouper shrugged. "Thought you knew. Pretty girl, with the biggest blue eyes I've ever seen. They wouldn't have let her pass security if she wasn't on the approved list." The hair on the back of my neck stood up. The biggest blue eyes I've ever seen. I tore ass toward Marlene's room. By the time I reached the door, my heart was beating like it was the first week of practice and I'd just run 5 miles in full pads. Hearing her voice, I froze. Willow had moved from the Deep South to New York when she was 10, but she always kept a hint of her accent. The way she strung her words together was almost lyrical. It was something I'd always loved about her. I could lie with my head in her lap for hours, listening to her babble about all the things she wanted to see someday. But in that moment, as I stood on the other side of the door, the sound was worse than nails scraping down a blackboard. I should have taken a moment to tamp down the anger boiling up within me, but I didn't. I pushed the door open. Willow was sitting on Marlene's bed, her back to me. "What the fuck are you doing here?" At the sound of my voice, her head whipped around. Her naturally doe-eyed blues grew even wider. Neither of us said a word. My chest burned. Swallowing acid would have been less painful than what looking at her again did to me after all these years. Grouper must have heard me, or sensed that something wasn't right because he was suddenly beside me. He took one look at my face, then at Willow, and squeezed between me and the doorway to get inside of the room.
Okay, birthday girl, it's time for physical therapy.
It was only 1 o'clock. Physical therapy wasn't until 4. Luckily, most days Marlene had no sense of time. Grouper maneuvered her wheelchair over and immediately began sitting her up in the bed. He wasn't in bad shape, but I knew from experience it wasn't easy getting her in and out of the chair. Typically a nurse and a porter did it together. Ignoring the self-preservation that was keeping me standing in the hallway, I walked to the bed and lifted Marlene, setting her gently into her chair. She looked up at me.
Brody, I didn't hear you come in. Did you come with Willow?
I responded with a lie on autopilot, the same way I had been for years. We came in separate cars today. She nodded. Grouper unlatched the lock on the chair and began to turn her toward the door.
Wait!
She held up her hand.
I need my teeth.
I kissed Marlene's forehead. You have them in. She did the usual check, raising her hand and tapping her nail on her front tooth. What was it with those things? She never trusted that I was telling the truth about her teeth, yet she happily accepted the thousands of lies I'd been feeding her about her granddaughter for years. Sometimes we believe things not because we know they are true, but because the lies are easier to accept. Grouper nodded to me as he wheeled Marlene from the room, clicking the door closed behind him. I stared out the window for a long time. There was so much I wanted to yell at Willow, yet it was all knotted up in my throat, clogging the words. Eventually, she was the one who spoke.
How have you been?
She asked in a soft voice. I let out a sardonic laugh.
Just fucking great.
This shit was not happening. I turned to face her, leveling a death stare.
What do you want here, Willow?
What do you mean? I came to see my grandmother.
It's been 4 goddamn years. Why now?
She looked down at her wringing hands.
I missed her.
Bullshit. What do you need, money?
I took my wallet out of my pocket and pulled the wad of cash from it, throwing at her on the bed.
I'll save you the trouble of stealing it. Take it and fucking leave. We're fine without you.
You've been coming to see her every week all these years. I saw it on the visitor sign-in sheet.
Someone had to.
She looked up at me. There were tears in her eyes. I had to look away. I was too fucking angry to let her manipulate me again.
I should have been here. Thank you for taking care of her for me.
I didn't do it for you.
The air in the room was making it difficult to breathe. The windows didn't open, and my lungs constricted, the pressure in my chest making it feel like it was about to explode. I needed to get the hell out of this place. Without bothering to say goodbye, I left the flowers and the gift I'd brought for Marlene's birthday on the bed and headed to the door. Her voice stopped me as I reached for the door handle. I didn't turn around when she spoke.
I've been clean for 11 months.
Good luck to you, Willow.
I never turned back.
Willow. Chapter 21. You knew it wasn't going to be easy. I pulled the last tissue out of the box that Dr. Kaplan kept on the glass coffee table between us. Sorry. I'm well stocked. Don't worry about it. She gave me the same encouraging smile I'd grown to become dependent on over the last year. Take a minute. Then tell me about the day. Start with your grandmother. Did she recognize you? I dried my eyes and wadded up the tissue in my palm. She did. I was really nervous that she wouldn't. My legs were shaking when I walked in the first time. Understandable. It's been a long time. She knew me. She knew who I was. But she didn't seem to know how much time had passed. It was like she just picked a page from our history book, and everything continued from there. Dr. Kaplan nodded. Stage 5, most likely. Moderate cognitive decline. I'm glad that she has progressed slowly. We talked about how some cases can move twice as fast as others. I know. It's selfish of me.
but it made me happy that she could recognize me still. It's not selfish. Selfish people tend to be good only to themselves. I think we can both agree that isn't the case. What you're more likely feeling is regret, I suppose. The thing with regret is, you can only regret the past. So for you, that's healthy. Regret the past. Use it. Make a new future. Visit her often. The more the regret is pushed into the past, the easier it will be. I am. I visited her every day this week. That's good. And how about the other regret that you need to deal with? Brody? Of course. We'd spent the better part of a year talking about the man. Who else would she be referring to? I saw him. It didn't go very well. She nodded and waited for me to continue. He hates me. I can't blame him. He assumed I was back because I needed something. Your history runs deep. You're going to have to earn back his trust. I'm not so sure he'll give me that chance. There's only one way to find out. Perhaps once he sees that you're genuinely clean this time, that you have a job, and you are planning on staying in Marlene's life, he'll come around. I took a deep breath and exhaled audibly. I know. It's not going to happen overnight. He can't even believe I'm sober. How can I expect him to believe that I've gone to bed and woken up thinking of him every day for the last 4 years? Delilah. Chapter 22. Is everything okay? Brody pushed spicy Thai chicken and fettuccine around the plate with his fork. Tuesday night, he'd said he wasn't feeling well and canceled coming by. And the last few days, he'd been quiet. Tonight his mood was something that resembled sullen. Do you not like the pasta? Yeah, I'm good. Sorry, babe. The pasta is delicious. Just tired. The rest of the evening was pretty much the same. I felt like I was dragging questions out of him. Normally, I was good with quiet. I'd never been a person who felt the need to talk all the time to be comfortable. The thing was, the quiet wasn't comfortable tonight. Later, I tried different subjects. Nothing seemed to interest him enough to talk. Brody was also having an after-dinner drink, something that was similarly out of character for him. He poured a stiff rum and coke and sat down on the couch, staring into his glass as he swirled the liquid. What did you ever end up buying when you went shopping the other day? He sipped his drink and looked at me with a creased brow. Hmm? The family friend you were shopping for last weekend. You were in a gadget store when I called you, and you said you were shopping for a friend's birthday, remember? Brody looked around the room before taking a sizable gulp. Placing his drink on the table, he lifted a knee and turned to face me. I got her a wooden checkers board. She lives in a nursing home and has a thing for game shows. She watches them on TV all day and likes to play board games.
Oh, that's nice of you. Is she a friend of your dad?
He looked me straight in the eyes this time. She's Willow's grandmother, Marlene. There was more to this story, and I wasn't sure I wanted to know the rest. After Willow disappeared, Marlene started to get confused a lot. She had no one but a drug addict for a daughter and a drug addict for a granddaughter. The woman spent her whole life seeing the good in people, and yet when her time came, when she needed that good to show for her, the two of them were nowhere to be found. Brody had one arm slung over the back of the couch. I reached up and took his hand and squeezed.
My dad and I took turns looking in on her for a while after I got back from college. But then my dad eventually retired to Arizona, and I'd be traveling 4 days some weeks with a team. It just wasn't safe for Marlene to be alone anymore. So I moved her out of her place and into a private nursing home about 3 years ago.
Wow. And you still keep in touch with her?
Haven't missed a Tuesday since the day I moved her in. Promised her she'd see my smiling face every week.
Brody guffawed.
There's been some pretty shitty losses on Monday that didn't have my face smiling on Tuesday, but I haven't skipped a visit anyway.
That's amazing, Brody. Not many people would do that for someone else. Especially not someone who isn't even their own family.
She's always been like family to me. I was young when my mother died. Marlene tried to help me and my dad out whenever she could. Plus, someone had to be there for her. Willow sure as shit wasn't.
I'd been curious to ask about her since the night he told me about what happened in college, but the opportunity had never presented itself. Until now. What happened to Willow? You mentioned she disappeared after the night with Colin.
She was gone for a long time after that. Didn't resurface until my first year playing in the pros. That was probably her longest sober period since we were teens. Things were good for a while. Until they weren't.
That doesn't sound good.
It wasn't. She disappeared again one night. I searched for days. Went to all the usual hangouts I'd pull her ass out of when she was using. Missed half my practices. And when I did show up, it was a fucking waste of everyone's time. I had no focus. Halfway through the regular season, police knocked on Marlene's door one night. There were a few homeless camps down near the East River. Mostly it's drug addicts who have checked out of life in general. A police boat was patrolling one morning. Found her floating face down.
Oh my God.
She'd been without oxygen for almost 3 minutes and was blue from the water temperature. Marlene and I spent 2 days at the hospital. She crashed twice, and they brought her back. They didn't know if she would have brain damage if she woke up.
That's awful.
If it were you or me, we would have died or been on a feeding tube drooling for the rest of our lives. But not Willow. 10 days later, she walked out of the hospital like nothing had happened.
Wow.
I thought maybe the whole thing had scared her sober. And for a while, I think it did. Until December 3rd, 4 years ago.
What happened then?
Nothing. It was the last time I ever saw her.
Brody paused, lifted his glass from the table, and swallowed back the remainder of his drink.
Until this Tuesday.
Sleep was nearly impossible that night. There were so many things going through my mind. Things that I made a mental mountain out of because of my own insecurities. Like, for example, the fact that Brody kissed me goodnight and left it at that. I knew it wasn't normal for couples to have sex every time they spent the night together. Eventually, there would be nights when we would just need some sleep. We'd settle into a routine and some of the newness would wear off. It was normal. It happened in every relationship. But the fact that it happened on that night had me thinking the worst. Around 2 in the morning, I decided to stop obsessing and roll over and go to bed. The small light on my bedside nightstand was on, so I reached over to turn it off. My eyes fell to the place where the framed picture of Drew used to be. The irony hit me then. After all these years, I'd finally decided to try and put my past behind me. Right at the same time Brody's decided to come back into his life. The next few weeks, everything seemed to resume to normal. The distance I'd felt for a few days when Willow returned was gone, and Brody returned to his usual cocky, charming self. He even came to Fit Factory with me one Thursday morning. We'd slept at his place, and there was one only a few blocks away. On the walk over, he held my hand. For a guy who wasn't looking for more than a fun night only 6 weeks ago, he'd fallen into boyfriend mode like a pro. So, what kind of girly shit are we doing at this place anyway? I'd explained the rotational gym program I belong to. He stopped on the sidewalk before I could answer. It's not that Zumba crap, is it? No, it's not Zumba day. But Zumba isn't crap. It's actually hard work. I leave there soaked. That means it was a good workout. He returned to walking. You were soaked this morning, and considering I had you pinned to the wall and did all the work, I don't think you got such good exercise. You're a pig. You know that? Brody dropped my hand and grabbed a handful of my ass right there on the street. What's that say about you? You got it bad for a pig. I rolled my eyes. But he was totally right. I had it bad. A block away from the gym, Brody pointed across the street. That's where Marlene lives. Broad Hollow Manor. I'd walked past the building before. From the outside, it looked more like a ritzy apartment complex than the terrible visual that came to mind when the words nursing home were spoken. That looks more like luxury condos than a nursing home. It's a nice place. They keep it clean, and everyone is well taken care of. You should see some of the dumps that I went to see before finding Broad Hollow. The places that the state will pay for are one step up from a shelter. I could have bought a luxury condo for cheaper than what the last few years cost me, but it's worth it. I'd never be able to sleep at night knowing she was in a hole in the wall, and I had bank just sitting around. Even though this morning he had cooked me breakfast naked after delivering a delicious orgasm up against the bedroom wall, that last statement made me fall a little harder for the man. My pig. Arriving at the gym, he opened the door for me to enter first. Before passing through, I stopped, stretched up on my toes, and kissed him on the cheek. What was that for?
For being you.
He walked in behind me and swatted my ass as he whispered in my ear, "My girl likes dirty pigs." The woman at the reception desk was on her cell phone as I signed in. When she hung up, I asked her about a guest pass. She didn't bother to look up from her phone. "My membership has a few guest passes. I don't have one with me today. I was hoping it would be okay, and you could just look up that I haven't used any yet." She huffed in annoyance, her attention having to be refocused from her cell to the computer that was actually part of her job. "Name?" "Delilah Maddox." Her nails clicked away. "Guest name?" "Brody." She halted her clacking. "Last name?" "Easton." Well, that got her attention. Her head whipped up. "You're..." "Delilah's guest." Brody filled in the blank when she trailed off. "Oh my God, you're really Brody Easton. I love you. I'm a huge Steel fan." "Thank you." She propped both elbows on the counter, cupping her smiling face in her hands. Forget whiplash. This woman had bitchlash. She'd gone from bitch to entranced so fast. "So, what brings you here to our little gym?" "Exercise," Brody responded flatly. She giggled like he'd just said the funniest thing. "This class won't be exercise to someone like you." My response was snippy because, well, because she was a bitch who had just insulted my exercise, the place she worked, and... she was busy ogling my boyfriend. "That's okay. He exercised at home this morning. Wall lunges. She nodded. Interesting. Never tried those. Maybe you can show me how later?
I plastered on a fake smile. I don't think so. But could we get that guest pass?
Oh, okay, sure, no problem.
She motioned to the entrance behind the desk.
Go right ahead. This one's on me. He doesn't need a pass.
The class was nearly full when we got there, so we took a spot in the back, dropping our gym bags next to us to claim real estate.
You're cute when you're jealous.
I wasn't jealous.
He raised an eyebrow and smirked.
We're two.
I'm not the jealous type.
Really?
Yes.
You're full of shit.
I am not.
Care to put your money where your mouth is?
You want to bet that you can make me jealous?
Yep.
I extended my hand. You're on. Loser gives the other a massage. Brody shook my hand and winked.
Okay. But you won't be massaging my back.
Whatever. But this contest goes both ways.
Brody looked around the room. It was almost entirely filled with women.
You're going to flirt with some of the women in here?
I'm pretty sure this is the best contest I will ever win, and we haven't even started to play yet.
The bitchy woman from the front desk came in. Alex is running 5 minutes late, so why don't we get you warmed up? Anyone want to volunteer to help me stretch out the class up front?
Brody's hand shot up faster than a geek's in science class. Bitch looked pleased.
Mr. Easton, what a treat! Ladies, we have none other than Super Bowl MVP Brody Easton in the class today, and he's going to come up here and show us how it's done!
No one had really noticed us in the back of the room, but that changed instantly. Women turned around and gawked. Brody gloated and headed to the front of the class. I had completely forgotten what an arrogant showman he could be. Shades of the first time I met him in the locker room were back as he stood next to the instructor, working his stretches. At one point, he smiled at me, then tugged his t-shirt over his head. His gym shorts were hanging low on his narrow waist, and every ripped muscle was on full display. Especially that V. The same one I'd recently discovered we both liked when I traced its path with my tongue. I looked around the room. I definitely wasn't the only one drooling. I swear I smelled the pheromone soup wafting through the air. I would never admit it, but I didn't love the way these women were looking at Brody. Yet, it wasn't an immature jealousy. There was a comforting feeling to realize that I knew he wasn't really interested in them. The entire class might have been transfixed, but the man at the head of the class was only doing it to try to get a rise out of me. After a few minutes of the Brody show, Alex walked in. He taught classes in the location I usually went to, so we were friendly. Perhaps even friendlier than my confident-to-win-the-bet boyfriend might like. I inwardly smirked, knowing it would only take a sentence or two after class to win our bet. I could practically feel my muscles relaxing under Brody's massaging rub already. After class was over, the women circled Brody asking for autographs. He gloated, thinking he was getting a rise out of me. But truly, I found the entire thing amusing, and was pretty damn proud that jealousy hadn't reared its ugly head. When the crowd thinned, we headed to the door, but not before I stopped to talk to the instructor.
Hey, Alex.
Pretzel. Nice surprise seeing you in this location today.
Alex's typical flirtatious banter was muted. He glanced at Brody.
This is Brody Easton, an old family friend.
Brody squinted at me as he shook Alex's hand.
That little bit of information, indirect confirmation that the man standing next to me wasn't my boyfriend, was all it took to relax Alex.
Nice to meet you, Brody. You two go way back, huh? Apparently so. Tell me, was our little pretzel always this smoking hot?
The air chilled instantly. Brody glared at Alex, who didn't even seem to notice since he went right on adding gunpowder to the cannon.
Your downward-facing dog still needs to open up a little. Why don't you stick around a few minutes and let me help you stretch into it?
That sounds like a good idea.
I turned to Brody and cheerily stoked the fire I smelled burning.
Why don't you go on to the locker room and Alex can help me with my positioning? I'll catch up with you out front.
Brody tried so hard, but Alex's dirty leer was too much to handle. Fuck this. His hand possessively gripped my waist. You win. Let's get the hell out of here.
Alex looked confused as Brody quickly steered me toward the locker room.
Very cute, he growled.
I thought so. Leaving the gym, I taunted Brody about my win. I would have thought you'd be stiff competition. Guess not.
I'll give you stiff.
He took my hand. I wouldn't have pegged you for the jealous type.
Me either, he grumbled.
I have to grab a quick shower and head to the station. We have a late-morning planning meeting. They're adding a few last-minute interviews with some of the Eagles players before this weekend's game.
Meeting with the enemy. You trying to kill me? First Yogi asshole, and now spending time with a division rivalry. I think I need a little extra attention tonight. I'm feeling neglected.
Oh, are you now?
Yep. I think I need you to show me how special I am.
And what exactly would that entail?
I'll think of something. When I do, I'll be sure to text you the details while you're in the middle of your meeting.
The man's wicked tongue translated well even in texting. We turned the corner, heading down the block where Marlene lived. Brody was telling me about his schedule for the rest of the week when he suddenly went quiet. It took me a moment to catch up. Brody? He was staring across the street. Everything okay? The streets of New York were bustling. At first, I didn't notice anything. But then I saw her. A woman had stopped outside of Marlene's building and was staring in our direction. People came and went, but she just stood there, fixated on us. She was absolutely gorgeous. Model waif thin, with long blonde hair and eyes so big. I noticed them across a busy street. My heart sank. I knew the answer, but asked anyway, "Do you know that woman across the street?" Brody turned his head face forward and kept walking.
"Yes. That's Willow."
And just like that, the confidence I'd felt earlier, the feeling of empowerment, turned into fear and vulnerability. And, yes, even a little jealousy. Willow. Chapter 23.
That pretty face should never have an upside-down smile.
My grandmother was losing her memory, lived in a nursing home, and had addicts for her sole surviving kin. And yet here she was, trying to cheer me up. I forced a smile.